morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord and offer Him our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. A special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream from wherever you may be. It is good to welcome you into this space. The announcements, it's been a busy week here at the church. Tax receipts are ready to go. Annual report is waiting for you to pick up today in preparation for next week's annual meeting following worship. And there will be a brief lunch, coffee and some muffins in between worship and the meeting. So you can have the energy to sustain you through vigorous debate of the annual meeting. So please do plan to be present for the annual meeting next week. And as you noted on the slides, next Sunday is also Communion Sunday. So please remember that, and as you make your devotions this week, prepare your hearts and minds to participate in the Lord's Supper. For those who are live streaming and who would like a communion cup for next week, please, Brenda's usually on top of all of that, so if you are normally in touch with Brenda Aikman for that, you can follow up with her, or call us here at the church office and we'll make sure one gets to you. This Wednesday begins the season of Lent, and Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, February 22nd. We will be celebrating an ecumenical service of Ashes on Ash Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the evening here in the sanctuary of St. John's with our friends from Trinity Anglican down the street and Knox St. Paul's United Church. So please give thought to including that in your events for the coming week. And finally, sympathies are extended to David Snetsinger and his extended family on the death of Dorothy Snetsinger. Visitation will be held on Wednesday at the Wilson Funeral Home. And the funeral is on Thursday. And I'm pretty sure it's 1 o'clock. Although there's a dispute on the Wilson's website, and so I'm waiting for clarification. But they told me 1 o'clock, and I have told the ladies 1 o'clock. So we're going to plan for 1 until otherwise. I just think that's just an error on their website. If that does change, we will let people know through a mass email. As we come into the Lord's presence today, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we light the Christ candle to walk in His ways. And thank you, Michelle. The session update is ready for us. Session met this past Monday night, and Michelle is going to share with you some of the things that were discussed. I always forget the session update.
Session met on Monday, February 13th. There were 8 elders present. The annual congregational meeting on February 26th will be in Caldwell Hall after the service. WLC will provide muffins, coffee, and tea. The meeting will not be live streamed this year. Session congratulates the Worship and Music Committee for organizing the service for Black History Month. Senator Clément was a wonderful speaker, and the service was a huge success. The committee hopes that people will begin to use the Thoughts and Wishes box at the back of the sanctuary. And paper and pens have been placed nearby so that you can share your ideas. The organ is quickly approaching its 100th birthday, and the committee is mindful of its age and need for care. The committee is planning a centennial celebration in the future. Unfortunately, there are no candidates for the organist vacancy at the church. There will be an Ash Wednesday service on the 22nd at 7 p.m., the Thursday service will be on April 6th at 7 p.m. and the Good Friday service will be on April 7th at 10 a.m. Susan McDonald reported that the upcoming events include the Quilt Show on April 14th and 15th and the Rotary Club Pancake Breakfast on April 22nd. Carol Esdale reported that the communion dates for 2023 are as follows. February 26th, first Sunday in Lent. Maundy Thursday. June 11th. Maundy Thursday, which is April 6th. June 11th, which is World Communion Sunday. October 1st. And the first Sunday in Advent, which is December 3rd. Bread and juice will begin to be used going forward, with some pre-filled cups still available. The bread will be served in juice glasses as well to prevent any possible touch contamination. Cynthia Seguin reported that our custodian Jeannie Hughes has been ill for the past month, and Mariah Adams has been filling in for her. The property committee has completed two projects, installing self-flushing toilets in the ladies' washroom and a new tap in the nursery bathroom. Projects that are coming next include replacing the ceiling tiles in the border room hallway and the men's washroom, as well as replacing the floor in the room beside Reverend Adams' office, two tiles in the hall, and the runner at the exterior door nearest the kitchen. Dan Plant shared that the new wireless Wi-Fi system is up and running and guest Wi-Fi is now available. And Reverend Adams reported that the communicants classes will begin soon, with the plan for the participants to join the church at Pentecost. Let Reverend Adams know if you would like to join the upcoming Bible study on the second half of John's Gospel. That completes the session summary. Thank you.
And by soon, communicants class is next Sunday. I think we're meeting in the evenings, unless I hear a great hue and cry that doesn't work for someone. For the Bible study, that will begin on the 30th of February. I guess that makes it the 2nd of March, right? No, sorry, the 29th of February, which will be the 1st of March. It's the Wednesday evening. So please make note of those things for those who are participants. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and offer to God our worship this day. We come seeking a blessing from God.
We come seeking to be a blessing to others.
When we look around, from where does our help come?
Our help comes from the Holy One who made heaven and earth.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, our guardian and our guide, you were present with your children, Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness of Exodus. You were present to Nicodemus and made known the vastness of your love. You are with us as we gather around your word and seek you still today. Through the gift of your Spirit, open our hearts and minds that we too may experience the height, the depth, and the breadth of your love. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Our opening praise is number 299, Holy, Holy, Holy. 299.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, we cannot earn God's grace or favor. It comes to us not as something owed, but as a gift that is freely given. Confident in God's love for us, even when we are ungodly, we come this day confessing our sins in faith. Let us join our hearts and our voices as we say the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. Loving God, you know each of us from before we were born. You journey with us through thick and thin, in the light when we can see clearly, and in the dark when it can be difficult and confusing. We confess that we do not always live up to your expectations of us. We often misunderstand or do not listen. We can be too hasty to judge or to write someone off. When we are not awake to your signs and your presence, please forgive us. When we take a wrong turn or walk away from the opportunity to bless or to be a blessing, please forgive us. Loving God, you know us and love us all. In this moment of stillness, we bring to mind the times that we have fallen short, and we seek your forgiveness. In your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. For this very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 373. Jesus loves me, this I know. 373. During the COVID pandemic, we have a neighbor that lives two doors down the street, a young man. And as there was nothing else to do and there was nowhere to go, he shot baskets on our street. I think there were days that he shot baskets for 10 hours. He's pretty good. Of course, you do get good if you practice for 10 hours. He's way better than I am. Let's put it that way. And that's the way it is with a lot of things that we do in life, isn't it? Especially if you're a young person and you're doing sports, right? You learn it by doing it. And eventually, you build up patterns, what we call muscle memory, so that you almost don't have to think about making the basketball shot for the ball to go into the hoop, or you almost don't have to think about it, or you shouldn't be thinking about it, for a good golf swing to send the ball directly down the fairway rather than into the trees where mine always goes. I'm not the athletic sort, as you can probably tell. And I was thinking about that this week because this morning in worship, we're going to read John 3:16. Now, for some young people, of the younger people in the congregation, that may not mean anything until they hear it. But for many of us, we can say it from memory, can't we? Right? We learned it in church school when we were young. And it's stuck with us to that very day. Or to this very day, pardon me. It's muscle memory for us. Visiting a member of the congregation in the hospital just this week, and I always ask, what passage of scripture would you like me to read? I always ask you this. There's two times I ask. It's when you're in the hospital, I ask your family at your funeral. Don't worry about this first one. But for the second, well, worry about them both. Tell your family what it is that is your favorite passage. But we read on that day that I was in the hospital, we read Psalm 121, which of course is one of those other passages from Scripture that we learned as children and that for many of us lives with us to this very day. I lift my eyes up unto the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I won't bore you with all of it, but that's the psalm, and that is how well it's known. And so just as we practice all of those other things that we do in our lives, whether it be our perfect golf shot, or the difficult chords on the piano or the guitar, if you are so a musically inclined sort of person, so too, we need to practice our faith and develop those habits so that it is something that lives with us and in us like breathing itself, and that we do not think, but wherever we go, we can call upon God's word, God's praise, and we can remember our God. Think about that as we hear the story of Nicodemus this morning that leads us to John 3:16. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of signs and wonders, we come to you, to your word, again and again, seeking understanding and the new life that it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so that we may believe this testimony and have eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Reading from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Then Moses answered, "But look, they may not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Second reading from the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3 and 13 to 18. This is a responsive reading. The words will appear on the screen. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
For it was you who formed my inward parts, and together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How some of them.
I try to count them, and they are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Reading from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are being destroyed. But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Let us allow the Spirit to fully speak to us as we join in singing, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, hymn number 65 in the Book of Praise.
Sing to the Lord with
And our gospel lesson for this morning, taken from the gospel according to John. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who ascended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's hard preaching on a text that we know so well as John 3:16. Because sometimes it's hard to figure out just what you want to say about it. But as I was reading this week, I could come up with no better sermon title than the one that's written on my screen, but not yours, "Unless." And the title is actually taken out of that text. You see, words matter, and how we say things matter. Sometimes it's a little bit more obscure than others, like perhaps this morning. As you've heard me say many times, as members of this congregation, and especially if you've been involved in one of the Bible studies with me, I always encourage you to listen for the echo of Scripture within Scripture. To listen to allusions that the writers of the New Testament make to the writings of the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets. Because often when they're making those allusions, they're bringing forth more than just familiar phrases, but they're importing the intent and the meaning of that previous appearance into the new situation. We listen for patterns and forms in Scripture. Sometimes they may point us somewhere that's important. And as I was reading our text from John's Gospel for this week, time and again, I couldn't help but be drawn to that one word, "unless." Twice in Jesus' responses to Nicodemus, Jesus uses that little word, "unless." With each reading, I couldn't get past the word. Now, I need to say something here. There's a footnote to this sermon this morning. When I'm working at my desk downstairs, There is a Bible that sits on my desk, the New Oxford Annotated Bible, Revised Standard Edition. It's the Bible that I used throughout my theological education at Knox College and, well, almost daily since then. It is, and it's beginning to show its wear. It needs some love. Maybe it will get that this summer while I'm on vacation. I need to rebind it and put things back together because the front cover has fallen off and the spine kind of flaps like this. But it's my working Bible. But I share that, and I share that with you this morning because you may have noted as Betty was reading the scripture that you didn't hear the word unless. Really ticks me off when that happens from time to time. The challenge, you see, of biblical translation is that when scholars translate scripture, they are attempting to do several things all at once. They are doing a literal translation. What does this Greek word mean in English? They are also translating for idiom. How would we say this thing in a way that makes sense for us today and that the biblical writers would say it back in their day? And then finally, they translate so that the sentences make the most sense, that they maybe flow a little bit as we read them. From time to time, the King James Version of the Bible, there are words in the King James Version of the Bible that have been dropped out of English usage. There are words whose entire meaning has shifted over the 400 years since the King James was written. And there are just all of these little things that makes things change. So we move translation to translation over time as we seek to understand God's Word. But one of the little peculiarities then is that sometimes words, they don't get dropped. The meaning is still there. It's just shaded slightly differently. This morning, the word unless kind of gets, in one appearance, I think it's without, and then I can't remember what happened in the other one. There was just a little shift. But if you go back as far as the biblical Greek, it's unless. So I'm going to use unless. And my Bible down on my desk because it's right. So anyway, with that aside, you can go back, look in other translations. You may find the word unless in your translation of your Bible at home this morning too. But in this morning's text that we receive, it is this beloved text that we all know. Perhaps one of the most popular texts beside maybe Psalm 23 and maybe even more popular than Psalm 121. We have this beloved text where the Jewish leader Nicodemus comes to see Jesus. Nicodemus is both a Pharisee and a religious scholar. He's both a Pharisee who is a religious scholar, but he's also a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish governing council that oversaw all of life in Jerusalem. And it's because of this position and his authority that we believe Nicodemus comes to visit Jesus by night and to talk with him, because he did not want to be seen associating with this upstart teacher from Galilee. But Nicodemus has questions. Who is Jesus? And what do his teachings actually mean? Nicodemus begins his visit with Jesus by stating, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." harkens back to that reading from the book of Exodus where Moses says to God, well, what do I do if people aren't sure that you've sent me? And God gives to Moses these signs and wonders that he can perform to show that he has the power and authority of God to lead the people. And likewise, Nicodemus makes that same recognition in Jesus, that Jesus has authority given to him from God. But Jesus challenges Nicodemus to go deeper. Jesus says in the book on the Bible on my desk, Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The first, unless one is born anew. Nicodemus struggles with that idea. What does it mean to be born anew? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? To which Jesus responds, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Our second unless. And the question that arises from this encounter is simply, what do these amplifications of this teaching of Nicodemus' observations mean? As Nicodemus searches for Jesus, where does Jesus point him? Nicodemus begins with a simple observation and reaction. He's heard about Jesus' ministry. Perhaps he's even witnessed Jesus and the teaching that he's done and some of the miracles that he has performed in the temple of Jerusalem as Jesus has come for the Passover. And Nicodemus has been moved to acknowledge that Jesus is not simply some great teacher or preacher. He's not some great folk healer, of which there were many in Jesus' day. But clearly there is more to Jesus than just that. But Jesus has been reinterpreted the law and the prophets of the Hebrew scripture in such a way. And he has touched people at the point of their greatest need and has given them healing. It is clear that Jesus is from God. And yet Jesus wants to push Nicodemus just a little bit further. Simply acknowledging the divine power contained in Jesus' miracles is not enough. Throughout the biblical narrative, Jesus is surrounded by crowds all the time. Throughout the biblical narrative, there are many who who witness his healing. And Jesus heals many people. Jesus gains this great popularity and people follow him. Or people watch him, pardon me, but few become his followers. Indeed, Jesus calls out the crowd at the miracle of the feeding with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, a reading that we'll be looking at a little bit in more depth in a couple of weeks' time. And there, on the day after they've been fed and they've come searching for Jesus, Jesus turns to them and he says, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. And then he says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Here this morning, Jesus invites Nicodemus to look beyond the mere healings to the message that is conveyed in them. The message that is conveyed in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. That God's great gift of love is revealed to us in the person of Jesus. And that we have a new and living hope because Jesus is present in the world. But we can only comprehend this new reality if we can get beyond the observable. If we can get beyond the tangible. Truly I say to you, we know Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you cannot receive our testimony. If we've told you about earthly things and you do not believe them, then how are you going to understand the heavenly things? For too many who encountered Jesus, you see in the gospel story, they see the acts of Jesus. They marvel at what he says and at what he does, but they never get moved beyond the earthly reality to see him in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of it this way. If you go out for brunch this morning after church, as I know some do, look around you discreetly. Don't stare at people. That's not polite. But discreetly, pay attention. Pay close attention. How many people will you encounter today in the restaurant or wherever you may go in the rest of the day who are wearing a cross? A cross as earrings, perhaps, or as a necklace, or as a tattoo etched into their very skin. Surely, if everyone that we saw today who wore the cross were born anew, if they were transformed by the good news of the gospel, then our churches would be full, wouldn't they? And our world would be filled with such good works that there would be no more suffering and no more injustice in our world, because all would be working for the goals of the kingdom of God. I lost the book, so I can't look this up. I think it was Nicky Gumbel. Nicky Gumbel is a Church of England priest and the founder of the Alpha program, of which you may be familiar. And I'm pretty sure it's Nicky who discusses this in one of the Alpha lessons, who discusses the reality of the cross and the peculiarity of the cross as a piece of jewelry. Because Nicky Gumbel notes that the cross is a tool of execution. It is like wearing little electric chair earrings, or a hangman's noose as a necklace. It's incongruous that we would ever think that the cross is a beautiful thing. And yet, for those who have been born anew, for those who have not just heard about Jesus, but who have come to that place in their life where they trust in him and have been transformed by him, that symbol of death is likewise transformed into the hope of new life because of what we have received in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you'll never fully get the meaning of that cross unless you are born anew. To not just acknowledge that Jesus was a historical figure who walked the earth many years ago and maybe did some teaching. If that is your claim, then that is not the gospel message. But to accept that Jesus is the Christ, the one sent by God, the human embodiment of God's love for us and for our world, the only thing that gives us hope in our world, then we are on the road to being born from above. As the Apostle Paul noted in his letter to the Corinthians for this morning, he did not seek to teach us in grand and exalted ways, but simply and through his presence proclaim the gospel and how he has been transformed and in sharing the gospel and transforming others in the world. Likewise, for us who are the church, we are called to be those people of transformation who have received the hope of new life in Christ and who cannot help but share it with another. Many, many years ago, I went to a study leave in Nashville, Tennessee. And one night they had three guys. They were, I don't know, I think they were billed as storytellers. They just sat at the front and gabbed for, I don't know, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, something like that. One of the gentlemen was a Baptist pastor who had ministered in Nashville for many years, and over the years he'd come to know some of the more well-known people in Nashville, some of the music performers and stars of country music, and he was shared some of his stories of life with these people and as being kind of their unofficial chaplain. But he also told us this one story. And the story was simply that there was a gentleman who, his wife went to church every Sunday at one of the Baptist churches in Nashville. And he went with her every Sunday, but he wasn't really the churchy type. So he, while she was inside doing the formal worship stuff, he would kind of walk around the parking lot and pick up things that had been left from the night before, because as in most cities, there's lots of activity at night, and things that don't stand up to the light of day often happen at night. So there was cleaning up of needles and other things that needed to be done, and that was his ministry while his wife was at worship. And one morning as he was doing his rounds of the parking lot and picking up various things, he came across the discarded remnants of a meal from McDonald's. A few French fries and a crust of bread thrown onto the ground. And so he was picking this stuff up to take to the garbage can and throw out. As he was doing this act of service, he was observed by someone. He was observed by by one of the people who lived on the street of Nashville. Not knowing the man's story at all, this man came up to him and he said to him, offered him a $5 bill out of his pocket, and he said, "No, no, man, don't eat that. Here, go get something, but don't eat that." Our mission is to be that person who upholds for others the true bread and the true life of Jesus Christ, and the encouragement to be fed with that which is worthy of our repentance and new life in God. Let us, like Nicodemus, come seeking, but let us know that unless we are born from above, we cannot fully attain the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, all that we have is a gift from God. In faith and gratitude, we return now a portion of what we have so abundantly received as grateful heirs of the promises of God. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings. gracious God, we dedicate to you not only these gifts, but our very selves, in deep gratitude for your call on our lives, your guidance in the baptismal journey, and for blessing us that we may be a blessing to others. Accept what we bring for your own good purposes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, our helper, you have been with your people throughout all the ages, preserving and protecting us, and giving us a glimpse of your kingdom glory. Confident that you still care for us, as you did for those who have gone before us, we lift up to you our prayers and concerns on this day. We pray for any and for all who are in harm's way, for those walking in the midst of danger, and those who are treading a slippery path, for those exhausted and seeking relief, and for those who face a mountain of worry or debt or any other obstacles. Be their guardian and guide, we pray, setting all our feet in your paths of righteousness and peace. We pray for those who are struggling with a new challenge or call, with a major transition in life or livelihood, with their faith and understanding, with grief, ancient and new. And especially today we pray for the Snetsinger family as they mourn the death of Dorothy. Keep them in your tender care and mercy, O God. We pray for those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, for those weighed down by depression or pain, those facing or recuperating from surgery or treatments. Protect not only us and those we love, but also the whole wide world that you love so much. In places of war, bring peace. In places beset by natural disaster, bring calm and restoration. Where there is unrest and injustice, make justice our aim. Where hope has grown tired and thin, lift our sights so that we may see hope beyond hope, life beyond death, and you lifted up before us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sake. Hear us now as we continue in prayer, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you speak something out loud in church, you will get the answer. It's true. I've had, and this is from two separate sources, confirmation that Dorothy Snetsinger's funeral is at 1 p.m. on Thursday. So thank you to David, who's watching, who let us know. I'd also contacted the funeral home and received a email from them during our worship. So please make note of that. And for those who are interested in attending, make your plans accordingly. Our closing hymn is number 642, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, 642. Let us go out, trusting in God's guidance. Remember how much God loves this world, and so loved the world in the name of Jesus, that your testimony may become the good news someone else has been waiting to receive. And as you go out and as you come in, may God keep you by sunlight and moonlight. May Christ encompass you with love, and may the Holy Spirit empower you with new life, this day and forevermore. Amen.